Hello, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Beyond the Frame. I'm your host, Hannah, and today we are diving into a topic that challenges everything that we have been taught about weight and health, and that is health at every size. We live in a world where we are constantly told that thin equals healthy and fat equals unhealthy. But what if that wasn't true? You know, what if our entire system of measuring health was built on bad science, bias, and just a whole lot of fat phobia? And that, my friends, is exactly what we are going to explore today. We're going to break down what HAES is, why it matters, and why the way we talk about health needs to change. So let's get into it. So what is HAES? HAES, otherwise known as Health at Every Size, is a movement that challenges the idea that weight is the most important factor in health. So instead of focusing on weight loss, HAES encourages people to focus on health behaviors, things like joyful movement, intuitive eating, and getting care that isn't just rooted in weight bias. Now, the term HAES was popularized by Dr. Lindo Bacon, who wrote the book called Health at Every Size. And guys, let's be real. This isn't just some fringe movement. It is backed by science, with studies that show a weight-neutral approach leads to better long-term health outcomes than dieting ever has. But HAES didn't appear out of nowhere. It was born out of a real problem, which was the weight stigma in healthcare. So let's take a look at a real life example. There was a woman named Ellen Bennett, and she spent years going to the doctor saying that she was in pain, that something wasn't right, and every single time she was told to lose weight. No real tests, no deeper investigations, just, you know, if you lose weight, your problems will go away. And by the time doctors finally took her seriously, it was too late. She had terminal cancer. And she died just a few days after her diagnosis. What's really powerful is in her obituary, she left this message. If there is one thing she wants to say to women of size, it's this. Advocate for yourself. Demand tests. Stand up for your health. Because you are worthy of care. And that, my friends, is why HAES matters. So let's break down the five principles of HAES. Now, if you guys haven't read the book, Health at Every Size by Lindo Bacon, I really recommend that you grab it and give it a read. And this is something that take your time when reading. Don't just rush through it. I have myself have gone back and read it probably three separate times, and I continue to get new information and new things stand out to me depending on where I am in my journey of recovery. Now, the five principles of HAES, she breaks down really great in her book. So the first one is weight inclusivity. Now, HAES rejects the idea that thinness equals health. So that means bodies come in all shapes and sizes, and weight alone is not a reliable indicator of well-being. So if you think about professional athletes, you know, you have a sumo wrestler and a marathon runner. And they have completely different body types, but both are highly trained, strong, and capable. And yet society often picks memes and makes fun of a sumo wrestler due to their size compared to people who exist in thinner bodies when the weight has absolutely nothing to do with what that person is capable of and the strength that they have. Any body can be strong. Everybody is strong. We can't compare. Second, health enhancement. So this means shifting the focus away from weight loss and toward overall well-being, like access to healthcare, good nutrition, and mental health support. Now, an example of this would be that many studies have shown that people in larger bodies avoid going to the doctor because they know that they'll be shamed about their weight. And that can lead to real health risks. And it's not because of their weight itself, but it's because of the medical neglect. It is so important that you are going consistently and making sure that your body is up to date with itself. And by being afraid of the shame that you might feel of going to the doctor, guys, that is such a sad place. And unfortunately, so many people live in that because of our outdated healthcare system, such as the BMI scale. Now, the third thing kind of coincides with the second, which is respectful care. That being said, you should do the research and find the doctors and health professionals that treat all patients with dignity regardless of size. Now, me saying that means, and I'm calling them out, that all doctors and health professionals should treat all patients with dignity regardless of size. We are all human and we all deserve the same respect no matter what body we exist in. Because there are just endless stories of plus size patients going to the doctor for a sore throat and leaving with a prescription for weight loss. Meanwhile, a thin person with the same symptoms, they get proper testing. And that is not healthcare. That's discrimination. 4, it is eating for well-being. Hayes supports intuitive eating, which is learning to listen to hunger cues and eating in a way that feels good and rejecting restrictive diets. Now, this has a whole podcast written all over it, and I will get that to you soon on what intuitive eating is and how to start that process. However, it does fall under the category of Hayes. An example would be, you know, a friend that is stuck in a cycle of dieting for years, whether they're counting calories, feeling guilt over food, starving, binging, you know, it never ends. But the moment that they let go of dieting and focus on how food makes them feel, everything changes because food becomes neutral. It doesn't have this power over you that makes you feel good or bad, whether you eat it or you don't. It's neutralizing it and recognizing it that it is full of nutrients and it is a part of caring for your body and being kind to your body. It is never a punishment and it is not bad for you. And lastly, the fifth point under the Hayes is life-enhancing movement, which in other words, just as exercise, should not be about punishing your body or shrinking it. It should be about joy. Now, I have struggled with this one, particularly because a huge portion of my eating disorder, I used exercise as a way to punish my body. So I'm currently in the stages of trying to find movement that I enjoy. And it's so interesting to look at all these different forms of movement and realize the ones that I tend to just gravitate towards, I don't actually enjoy. I don't like to run. Lifting weights is fun, but it has such a negative connotation associated to it in my mind that it's not something that brings me joy. It brings me shame and it brings me anxiety. So instead, I've really tried to cultivate other forms of movement that are fun for me, whether it's going on a walk with a friend and a coffee in hand because, yeah, I mean, it's an excuse to go out and get coffee. But there are so many other ways that we can incorporate movement into our daily lives in a way that is just celebrating what our body can do for us. So think of a plus-size yoga teacher. They are so flexible, strong, and active, but they don't fit the stereotypical image. And does that mean that they're not healthy? Of course not. In fact, I have done yoga and I love to switch it up with people on their YouTube channels who exist in all different kinds of bodies. And let me tell you guys, as someone who exists in a straight size body, the stuff that people who that exist in larger bodies are doing, I cannot do. My body is not that strong and it's not that flexible. That being said, my body is my body and their body is their body. And it's not a space for judgment, and it's not a space to say, oh, I live in a thinner body, so I should be able to do that. Why can't my body do that? Well, you know what? I'm just learning, and I'm just starting out, and if I want to try that, I can, but also it's so important that I'm listening to my body when I'm moving it, and I'm not hurting it, and I recognize the boundaries that it's given me, and everyone's body has different boundaries when it comes to movement. Haze matters so much in our society because it is a weight neutral approach for better health than the cycle of dieting and weight stigma. And guys, let's be real. Dieting, it doesn't work. You know, studies have shown that 95% of people who lose weight through dieting regain it within 5 years. And that's not to shame that person and say, oh, you're just gaining back your weight, you're bad. It's just saying that the health industry has failed you. All these dieting advertisements and these weight loss supplements and everything, it doesn't work. Because your body is where it needs to be naturally. And anytime we try to change it, our body is always going to resist and fight back. Now, fat phobia in healthcare is so dangerous because people in larger bodies are misdiagnosed or ignored all of the time. Studies from UCLA show that focusing on health behaviors rather than weight loss improves overall health outcomes. There is this obesity paradox studies showing in some cases that people in larger bodies actually live longer than their thinner peers. So if weight is the problem, why does that happen? Meaning, people who exist in fat bodies should be able to get the medical care and treatment that they deserve without feeling and without being told that their weight is the issue. Because oftentimes, their weight is not the issue and they actually are dealing with something. So we need to normalize that. And Haze provides such a huge foundation for understanding and for teaching you how to advocate for your body and those spaces that may not be Haze inclusive. Now, there is also a lot of misconceptions about Haze. So let's just clear some of them up quickly. You know, often people ask, does Haze promote obesity? No. Period. Haze isn't about saying everyone should be fat. It's about saying that weight isn't the main factor in health and that behaviors are. When I was super unhealthy in my eating disorder, I was extremely thin, and yet everyone on social media and people that saw me were commenting and glorifying my weight loss because they thought I looked good. And I was literally dying. That being said, people who exist in fat bodies doesn't mean that they are lazy and that they're not healthy, that they're not strong, and that they're incapable of living a healthy life, because there are so many people in this world who exist in all different body shapes and sizes, and they are living life regardless of the size and shape of their body, because it is not the weight that matters. It's the behaviors and what they're doing in their life that matters. The second misconception is, isn't weight linked to health? Here's a key word. It is correlated, but correlation isn't causation. There are many factors like poverty, stress, and discrimination which impact health far more than weight does. It is not talked enough about the privilege that people have to be able to go to a grocery store and buy fresh produce. It is so much more expensive to spend money on things that are quote unquote organic or fresh. And that is privilege. There is also so much white and thin privilege based in fat phobia, which if you haven't listened to my previous podcast on it, you should go and listen after this one. And that just goes to show that there are so many other things that are the cause of the impact to someone's health. Okay, lastly, the third one is does Haze ignore nutrition and exercise? Not at all. I mean, as I just mentioned above, Haze actually really encourages joyful movement and balanced eating without making weight loss the focus. And that is so important, is that in order to start this journey of accepting health at every size, you cannot go in with the concept that throughout this, you will lose weight or the fear that you will gain weight. Because who knows what behaviors you have been using now that are actually harmful for your body. And when you stop using them, your body's going to change. And that is okay. because your body will change to where it needs to be in order for you to live a happy and healthy life. Now, before we close, I want to quickly tie in the importance of haze representation in the arts. And by arts, I mean, you know, whether it's theater, dance, music, visual storytelling, basically any space that is creative. However, these spaces reflect and reinforce societal beauty standards. And that includes the idea that only certain body types are acceptable. Now, in Hollywood, Broadway, and even the music industry, larger body people have often been pushed into the background or, worse, typecast into harmful stereotypes. So, I mean, think about it. I've mentioned this before in other podcasts, but plus-size actors are often given roles as the funny best friend or the tragic fat character who wants to be thin. And in dance, larger bodies have been excluded from ballet and contemporary spaces, even though fat dancers exist and thrive. And in fashion, designers have historically refused to dress plus-size celebrities as if fat people don't deserve high fashion. And here is where haze comes in, because the arts can play a role in dismantling weight stigma by showcasing body diversity and rejecting the idea that thinness equals beauty, success, or talent. But there is also a huge mental health component tied to this. Many people in the arts develop eating disorders because of the pressure to conform to body standards. From actors to dancers to musicians, there is a culture of body surveillance that can be harmful. And haze offers an alternative way to reclaim creativity and joy in movement, self-expression, and identity without being obsessed with shrinking your body. And this is something that I really, really want to take home from this, because this is something that once I have discovered and I've done the research and I'm trying to do the work towards it, it's been a comfort to me as someone who is an actor in such a competitive field where so often you may not get the part simply because of how you look. And as someone who has struggled with disordered eating and an eating disorder, that's really hard to swallow, that kind of rejection. And then to not want to change your body. However, haze is a great platform that the arts group need to hold on to, because who you are and whatever room you step into, you're unique as you are, and you don't need to be like the person who came in before you and the person who will come in after you. And your weight has nothing to do with how good or worthy you are. Art has always been a vehicle for change. And the more we see diverse bodies in leading roles in dance companies, in high fashion shows, on album covers, etc., you know, the more that we can challenge the idea that beauty, talent, and success, they don't just come in one size, they come in all sizes. So guys, if you are an artist, whether you're a dancer, actor, singer, or writer, haze really gives you permission to exist, create, and take up the space exactly as you are. And that, my friends, is ultimately what we are striving to do in a world that is filled with toxic diet culture. The arts is always such a creative space and is often a safe space for so many people. So let's continue to work to make it a safe place by enforcing haze and by bringing that culture into those spaces as well. So here's the takeaway. Health is not determined by weight, and everyone deserves respectful, compassionate care, whether they're a size 2 or a size 22. Now, if this episode made you rethink something that you've believed about health, let's keep the conversation going. Please DM me, share your thoughts, or just tag me and your stories. And if you are looking for resources, please check out Dr. Lindo Bacon's book, Health at Every Size, or another one of my favorites, Sonia Renee Taylor's The Body is Not an Apology. Until then, take care of yourself exactly as you are.